Hello. Welcome to Honey, We Need to Chat. Okay. Let me think.
Is that how you're starting?
Yeah.
Oh.
How do you want to start?
I don't know. I thought you said we're just going to start, chat, and then we'll do a Honey, We Need to Chat.
I'm just saying welcome because that's the beginning of the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Welcome.
Yeah. My name is Amy.
And I'm Blair.
And what's the point of our podcast, babe?
This is where I wanted to rehearse this.
No, not rehearsing is funner than...
Yeah, I know. So essentially, we really believe in the power of conversation. We believe that relationships are really built on communication. The strength is from the communication. Another thing that we saw recently was that when the communication stops, problems happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in our marriage, and even when we're dating, communication was a really big part of our values as a couple, partially because, you know, we had seen our parents go through their marriages and have their struggles, and we just both came into dating really passionate about being able to communicate through things, which we do to varying degrees of success. But for the most part, we really enjoy being able to workshop, I guess, some of our things.
Yeah, but I think at the beginning too, though, like that was probably a big thing for us because we are opposites. Mm-hmm. Like we are very, very opposites. So the way that we communicated, you know, so this was a big lesson for us, was how we communicate through even like regular times, but also through difficult situations. So for example, when I'm stressed or something, I actually process internally, but on a regular basis, I talk a lot. Like I verbally process when I'm working, like I really need to verbally process an idea or a thought. But when it's a difficult situation, I actually go quiet. And that was a big lesson that we had to learn, was not just how to communicate well, but how to actually communicate well for each other, to each other.
Yeah. And we've been married for 9 years now, and I guess we're dating for a year before that. So been together for 10 years. We are still learning that. We even had a conversation about that the other day, because I'm the absolute opposite of that. And normally I really need time to internally process whatever is happening. And then if something's stressing me out or going wrong, I can't internally process. So where Blair would normally like to be left alone because he's stressed and needs to kind of think inside, I all of a sudden need to be helped to talk through things because I can't think inside. I don't even know how to ask for that normally when I'm stressed. So that's kind of like the puzzle that we really enjoy working out. And it's not always fun, but I think it's something that we're both really passionate about making sure we're working on and being active in that. And it's also something that we're passionate about the people that we love and care about, like being able to help and challenge them in that where we can as well. So I think that's kind of the heart behind this podcast is, a lot of people have friends and family or people in their networks that they can communicate with. They can like workshop an issue or a disagreement or a question or whatever it might be, and they'll get really positive feedback. But there are also people that don't have someone that they can workshop this with, or they don't have a relationship that they've observed navigating differences or whatever. And so we kind of thought with this podcast, it could be an opportunity to just show you one perspective of what it might look like for a couple to be workshopping something. And it's obviously just our way of doing it. It's not the right way. And we're not experts or, you know, we're not educated in this at all. It's just from personal experience, but maybe just being able to be that extra little insider perspective for someone who's listening.
I think iron sharpens iron too, right? Like, you know, I go out with my mates and we chat about, for my mates particularly, we chat about fatherhood, you know, and that's something that we continually try and challenge and grow each other on. And a lot of that is just through sharing experience. And that's kind of the idea behind this podcast is that, look, we're going to chat, we're going to do what we do. And our hope and prayer is that it would be helpful, encouraging to you guys. So that's the hope of it.
Yeah. And some of it will be, and some of it's probably just going to be messy and also just encouraging and strengthening us, because some of the stuff we'll talk about, some of the topics and questions we haven't even thought about and haven't thankfully had to navigate yet, but maybe will in the future. So this is kind of a fun little experiment or exercise to, go through some of that stuff.
Last thing I'll say is that this is something that we wanted to do to help us grow in communication.
Yeah.
It's something, you know, I think it's like regular exercise. You don't exercise at the gym and you get to a point and you're done. It's the same with communication. Mm-hmm. And we feel like this is a strength of ours, or has been a strength in the past, but something that we're continually working on. And this is helping us be intentional about working on that going forward.
Yeah. So we have some stories and questions that we've very quickly looked up. This is probably going to be the least prepared we've ever been. No, not even probably. This is 100% the least prepared, because we weren't planning on recording an episode. We were just talking about the podcast and we're like, why don't we just do it?
Let's get it done.
Yeah. So bear with us. But we're going to read through some situations and then that we've found on forums and different places online. And then we're just going to chat about it and see how maybe we would navigate that, or what our thoughts are on it. And we'll just see how kind of it unfolds organically.
Love it.
Honey, we need to chat.
All right. So the first story I'm going to read. The first story is from Reddit. It's r/relationships is the forum. And the title is, how do I, 33 female, stop resenting my husband, 33 male? My husband and I have been together for 15 years and married for 11. He's a physician in the US, which most everybody knows comes with a hefty price tag. We got married right out of undergrad, and the summer before he started medical school. I had to change which master's program I was going to last minute, but I was able to get in and get a job and was able to support both of us with this job that I love. When he graduated, he got a residency in another state and barely even consulted me about it before he applied and interviewed and decided. I put it behind me and packed up and moved with him, and luckily was able to find another job, but I hated it, and I was able to support both of us while he was able to put all of his money towards his student loans. After he finished, I was able to get a different job that's better than I could ever have dreamed of, and got a major promotion near the end of 2018. Since January 2019, my husband has been pushing for us to start trying for a baby. He also doesn't want strangers raising his children, so he doesn't want to put them in daycare or have a nanny when we have them. He also doesn't want to quit his job or go down to part-time in his job to take care of said kids, but he expects me to be a stay-at-home mom. I'm not ready for a baby right now. I'm not ready to sideline my career and leave my dream job that I've worked my ass off for. I told him as much, which resulted in a fight where he told me that I should leave my job because his is more important than mine, since he saves lives every day. I had to walk away because I was so furious and hurt by what he said. And since that fight, I found myself thinking things I probably shouldn't and wanting to bring up how my unimportant career supported his ass while accomplishing his dreams. I gave up on my dream program, my original dream job, the place I loved and wanted to live forever, and my desire to have kids so that he could accomplish his goals. I know you're not supposed to do things with the intention of being paid back or keeping score, but I did all those things because I loved my husband and expected at the very least he would respect me and my career and be understanding and supportive of my wants and needs. It just seems like I'm the only one sacrificing and being selfless in our marriage. In summary, my husband is being a jerk about my career, and I feel myself starting to resent him, and I don't want these feelings to get worse towards him. How can I stop having these thoughts about him and our marriage?
There's so many things. I think this is a classic example of when the conversation stops, bad things happen. You know what I mean? Like, but the willingness to have the conversation too. Because I think, like, you know, a big thing for you and I when we were dating was that it was that understanding of each other's values and how that fit in together and how, like, that impacts each other. So it was this, it had to be this always togetherness conversation, you know, and how are we moving forward as a couple, as a family, and whatever else. And I feel like that something's probably missed. It's been like, this is the thing that I want to do. Now, this is the thing that I want to do. It's quite individualistic. Yeah. It's not together.
Yeah. I think the writer seems to be focusing on what she gave up for him, which is really valid because she has given up a lot from what the story says. And I was just thinking, like, when I was about to have our last baby, I remember there was a day or something, or maybe a few days, where I was talking to you about how after I have this baby, I'm going to need, it sounds weird to say this, but some recognition for what I've done. It'd be very easy to just move into the postnatal stage and just be like, oh, she's had another baby. And not because you're not recognizing me for it, but because I knew that I was going to need like intentional recognition. I was going to just need that because it's a huge thing that I've done. But also I wasn't going to be able to in that moment ask for it, because then it won't feel real. It won't feel right. It wouldn't feel authentic. I can't just like expect you to just know that's what I need, kind of thing, which is a big thing that we've got. We say a lot in our relationship. So I had this moment where I was like, I can project that if this wasn't done, if I wasn't able to celebrate what I've done and like have recognition in what I've done, both from myself and from you and from the rest of the family, that I would be a bit sad. Like I would really grieve that, and it'd be something that I needed and I didn't get. But I also know that it wasn't something that necessarily would have crossed your mind, and maybe it would have, but it may not have as well. And so I just needed to say it so that you knew that that's what I needed coming up. And it was kind of like projecting what was potentially going to happen, because I knew in my head where I felt I was going and where like it could be missed, because it's really hard to mind read. And so I feel like this is sort of a similar thing. She's done all these things for her marriage and for her future family, I guess, and for her husband, and things that are like really sacrificial and huge, and potentially, and not potentially, actually seriously, like some of these should have been more communicated, like, you know, where they're going for residency, he was going for residency and stuff like that. But there's also, I guess, an element where sometimes I think we think that we're caring for people, we think we're sacrificing for our family, and that is just going to be recognized. And unfortunately, it's not always recognized. And that's not necessarily fair, but sometimes if we're really valuing communication, we're really wanting the other person to succeed and being our partner as well, not to like baby them and that they have to step up as well. But if you are, you know, you're seeing this pattern of things you've given up, and I don't know what conversations they've had, but like potentially there is a little bit of a gap where they've fallen into a pattern of her giving stuff up. It's not being recognized. She doesn't know how to communicate. That's what she needs. He's obviously overlooking it, which I, in my opinion, from the story, he's not really thinking much about her. That's what it sounds like. Obviously, it's one-sided story. Yeah. And so I think, yeah, that's like with what we've talked about, you know, communication. If communication dies, then things die. If communication stops, things go bad. And I don't know where along that path, it's hard to know where that comes in, but I think, you know, falling into a pattern is really easy in a marriage, and that's kind of what it sounds like has happened.
Yeah. And again, I think it's, you know, the guy sounds like he has been focused on himself, you know, and now she's like, it's my turn to think of myself. Kind of. I'm not getting that as much from her, but I think, again, you know, we brought in that rule when we were dating because we struggled to know how to communicate to each other. I could either be very blunt or very closed off, and I would hurt you. And so we brought in that rule. If I've got a problem, I've got to voice it. If I've got a problem and I don't voice it, it's my fault. If I've got a problem and I voice it in a way that hurts you, it's my fault. So that puts it back on me, so that I've got the problem. And you need to have that healthy relationship to be able to receive whatever he has. Because if you're in a relationship and everyone's just defensive all the time, walls are up, this won't work. But that's where I think we need to be working towards that. Well, couples need to work towards that relationship that is vulnerable with each other, that is intentional about growing as a couple and everything. And, you know, allowing this safe space to be able to do that. There's so many things involved with this. But, again, that if I were a problem, I've got to think of you in the way that you want to receive it, right? So that's going to help me think about my delivery. And it's still something I struggle with, is the way that I deliver stuff. Because, like, if I just deliver it, well, I've got it off my chest now, I feel good, but now I'm still thinking of myself. But if I can, if I have you in mind in the, as the receiver, it's going to shape the way that I deliver it, because my desired outcome is not that I've got it off my chest, is that we have actually strengthened as a couple. And now we get to move forward stronger and better as a couple.
Yeah.
Again, that ownership's on me. So that's where I think from her, again, there's only so much we can see into this whole scenario as one side, but I would actually say from her, she's got a responsibility here to go back to him.
Yeah. like I'm finding it really hard to not feel pretty hurt by the fact that this has happened, this has happened, this has happened. I think there's a few things that happen too. Like obviously in the heat of the moment, that's 10 million times harder than when you've had time to think and you're calm and you've written out a story on Reddit. But so coming back to the conversation probably would go differently to how it happened, how it's happened in the heat of those moments. So that's positive, hopefully. And once, like with that rule, once we've said it to that person, once I've communicated clearly, this is something that's really hurting me and I've communicated it with you and, you know, we've been able to have our whatever conversation with it, then it's our problem or your problem, depending on what the thing is. So it's like, she's not responsible for fixing it for him, but she is responsible for if her goal is to have a healthy marriage, which it sounds like she really doesn't want this to fester. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. If her goal is for unity and, you know, health and strength in the future, then she needs to communicate that with him. And then it's on him as well to then pick that up and figure out where he's hurt her and what like this pressure that he's putting on her is doing. You don't want to do anything that's going to make you resent them. So if you're choosing to do something because you feel pressured and you're feeling resentment already, I think it's a really important thing to workshop before you make a choice like that, because that's never going to, you know, be a helpful thing.
Before we keep going, because again, and I don't think we've done this well to start with, is the point of what we're trying to do here is put ourselves in their position.
Yeah.
So if you could put yourself in that position, how would you approach me?
Yeah.
In that circumstance.
Yeah.
Like if you felt pressure from me and knowing that I'm dead set on my career, I'm, you know, that's where my focus is. I've kind of got this entitlement thing as well going on and pride thing going on.
Yeah.
How would you approach that?
Well, it's hard to think of you not being you for one thing, but if this was me writing the story, I think I would say I would find a time where we're both calm and I've been thinking about it for a little while and I've like obviously workshopped what it is going on in my head. And I'd say, can we please have a chat about this? Because I'm feeling really torn because I also want kids and I wanted kids before and you didn't want them because of your career. And I respected that and it's great. So it's not that I don't want to have kids. It's that right now I'm finally free to do these things that I'm really passionate about. And I'm finally finding my groove. And so the idea, it's not that it's off the table. It's that the idea that you are expecting this of me without recognizing that is really hard for me. So I just need, instead of it being like, I'm letting you down because I'm not having a kid, or instead of there being pressure around it, I need us to have a conversation around it and find a timeline that works for us both, because I did that with you. And I think that, you know, that's something I wanted to do for you because I loved you. But it's something that I think we need to do for me as well, because I need that too.
And I think that's good, because I think like for me and I know quite a lot of guys, I want to say all guys are in this situation, but like I feel like I need something tangible. So if it's like, all right, I need to wait, you know, it's not going to be as happy clappy as this. There's going to be sorrow involved. I'm like, oh man, I have to wait. But if I've got that thing of like, all right, we're actually working towards something, because I think my mind would go to, you don't want kids now, you know, you change your mind. I've done all this for you. Why can't you do this for me? Because again, trying to put myself in that guy's position. Like I think, having that practical thing of like, all right, this is where we are now. You know, this is what I want to achieve in my career. Like this is kind of the things that I want to hear from you as well. Is like, this is what I want to achieve in my career. So I can kind of like not put it out of my mind, but I can be a peace of mind to know that we've got a practical thing that we're following. And we're going to revisit that, you know, like
it's not just like off the table of a discussion.
It's not a binding contract sort of thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. I can't hold you to like that. Like you said,
but at least there's like a practical thing to work towards.
Again, it's keeping that conversation alive. Like this isn't going to be a once-off conversation thing. It's something that, you know, we've had so many conversations. We have to keep revisiting. And conversation was one of those things, how we had to keep on coming back to how do we communicate. And this is going to be one of those things, because again, there's so much, from the sounds of it, there's so much involved with that. So it's not just a matter of how do you have the conversation, it's how do we change our perspective and appreciation of one another, and how do we value one another's focus and values, and ambitions and all that, and how do we work go forward as a couple, not individuals.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's the way that you approach it. If you say like, look, man, I want to be able to, I want to have conversations. I want to start having healthy conversations and I want this to be a priority for us as a couple. I think setting that straight rather than going straight into the issue is going to be probably something that's really important. Because otherwise this is going to be on the defensive straight away.
Yeah.
Like, look, I know this might be hard for you to hear and I just want to ask that you just give me the space to speak and I'm going to give you the space, but I really want our end goal to be that we're uplifting each other. I think it needs to be said because if you take notes, if you do this whole preparation thing, as soon as you start, I'm like, whoa, like before you even start, it feels like walls up.
Like, an intervention or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I also think what you say is really important and I've tried to hone this more and more as I get older. I think there are so many times you can, even on the smallest thing to the biggest thing, you can come into a conversation and be like, you've done this to me.
Yeah.
And it's all about what you have done. And, you know, the opposite is where I fall as well sometimes, where I make general statements like, we need to do this. And I feel a little bit silly sometimes because I feel like sometimes it's very obvious that I'm, or not obvious, but like it's too vague. It's like not, every now and then there's been times where I've had to be a bit more like, this is, I need this from you. But I think for the most part, there are ways to navigate most conversations that you don't have to come in and be like, you've done this. I think if you were able to come into the conversation in like a positive way and be like, I want to have kids with you. Like, I want to start a family. I want us to have, to both feel really ready and excited for that. I'm not feeling that because I'm really excited about what I'm doing right now. And the reality is if we have a kid right now, that's going to do this, this, and this, and I'm going to struggle to not feel resentful of losing what I'm working
on. Yeah, that's true.
And so if you come in with like an uplifting way of being like, I want this exciting, I want, or if it wasn't this conversation, it could be like, I want us to be so like unified in how we tackle these things. And I feel like, you know, we need to just do some stuff now to make that happen. I feel like that's a, like an easier pill to swallow because it's not just like doom and gloom, like, oh, you got to work on this thing. It's like, this is what I want. I want what you want. We've already talked about the kids. You want the kids. I want that too.
You want the kids, man.
You want the kids. This is how we get the kids. It's one of the ways.
This is what we do.
Yeah. So I think that.
Bada bing, bada boom.
I think it. You're 100% right. It depends on, you know, the pattern of conversation. I think that's going to be the case for all of these stories though. Every story is, it's always, the caveat is it's always going to be dependent on what kind of communication they have. And so us workshopping it how we do is one side.
And then also talking about something that they could do.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're in a situation where you're really, really unheard, you really like, you know, emotionally not cared for, then that's a totally different thing. And that's where someone like a counselor, a psychologist or whatever, for yourself or for your, like as a couple, for your marriage, is really important because that's a different beast. And I think there's places to start before you decide that. Like, if I think those, these conversations are a good place to start because, you know, it's not at that point yet from this story, but that's definitely something to keep. If you're going through something like this, you need to keep that in mind. There will be times where the other person is just not going to hear you. They're not going to, they're not a healthy person for whatever reason, and you need extra support, and that's really important. First story done.
Done. Yep. Nailed it.
My hand is cramped from holding this.
Oh man, we need a mic stand, a better one.
Yeah.
Hey, cool cats.
Have you followed us?
Have you followed us on our socials? Oh my gosh, get onto it.
Oh my gosh, where are we, babe?
We are on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube.
Yeah, and what's our handle?
What?
Our handle is at Honey We Need to Chat.
Honey We Need to Chat.
Oh, please excuse him.
Enjoy the episode.
The next question, I don't know where you got this from, actually. Where'd you get these questions that you Googled, that you just Google?
Google.
Yeah, okay.
It's some forum thing.
Yeah. So the next question is, how you feel your mental health had affected your children? Question mark. How you feel your mental health had affected your children?
How you feel?
I am very aware of how my mental health may affect my children. I choose to look upon this as a silent blessing for my children as they are getting the education, understanding, and awareness that I believe will make them more resilient, compassionate, and tolerant people. Any thoughts?
Man, I've got all the thoughts on this one. This is actually something that I think about a lot. So I've, the last few years, I've had quite a bit of mental health challenges through a really difficult work situation, then going into COVID, burnout. It was funny, I was a pastor for working in a church for 7 years in different roles. And I feel like I have a bit of a colorful background, and the benefit of that was that I could relate to quite a few people going through quite a few different things, right? The one area I really struggled to relate to people on or with was mental health. I just didn't get it. Yeah. Like, I didn't get it. And it was, and it was, I never ever said this, but there was a little bit of arrogance in there. I'm like, I really think you just need to eat some cement and harden up. Like, that was like my attitude in the back of my mind. I'm like, you just need to get over it. This is not something to be worrying about. Mm. Why are you worrying about that? I just did not get it. Then, like, you know, COVID's hit. We've just had our third kid, and I'm on the couch literally for like 2 weeks, not able to move, just paralyzed with anxiety. Mm. And I'd never really experienced anxiety before. I was just afraid of everything, panicked, fast, so hard to move and leave the house. And since then, it's still been, I've still had mental health challenges. I'm in a very different place. I've got help. I've, you know, been very proactive in doing that, but I still struggle. And so anyway, how this affects, like, have I thought about how this affects the kids? Is that what it is?
The person's saying they're very aware of how their mental health may affect their children, and they look upon it as a silent blessing for them to be getting the education, understanding, and awareness that will make them more resilient, compassionate, and tolerant. And they're just saying, any thoughts?
Well, that's a positive spin I hadn't thought of. So that's good. I think for me, what we've spoken about is that what we want to do is not try and, like, hide the struggle, but be transparent with it to a point. Mm. You know, I don't want to be telling them every little detail. I don't want to put it on them or anything. I don't want to confide in them. They're kids, you know, like, it's being transparent with the struggle. So this year, I even said to my kids, I've been getting quite overwhelmed recently and not being able to really regulate the situation and my emotions, and it blow up sometimes, right? And I just don't deal with it in a great way. Nothing extreme, but just I don't react in a way that I like to react. And I said to the kids, like, look, I've apologized. I really am sorry that this is happening. And I'm actually going to start looking for a counselor to help me do this. And I just saw, especially our oldest, like, something, like, looking at him like, oh, you're actually going to do something about it. Like, you're not, it just isn't
okay with it. Yeah,
you're not just okay with it. It's not, it is what it is. I hate that saying too, by the way, but it isn't that. And, you know, I think that was encouraging for him, and he's still quite young, you know, but that's something that I'm trying to think of. And that's what we're trying to do, is be transparent with our issue. We never excuse them, and we are being proactive in the way that we're addressing them and getting help for them. So that's my thought. But I like that spin on the positive side, is that but I think the education needs to come in there of, you know, because I think if you don't address it with them, if you don't take them on part of that journey, it could be just resentment and cause their own issues and so forth.
I think also, like, we obviously have zero context for this at all, but it's one thing to be like, oh, it's good my kids are watching me struggle with mental health, that'll help them be resilient. But the thing is, how you're struggling with it's really important. And I think we're going to have ups and downs all the time. And again, mental health is super complicated, and we're not psychologists or counselors or anything like that. But if you had, in that burnout, stayed on the couch and that was all, and you didn't put things in place, and you're like, oh, it's good though, because my kids seeing me struggle with burnout, that's also just going to cause trauma. That's not, you have to show what you're putting in place when you can.
Yeah.
Manageable, healthy things to put in place to not just struggle with it, but then to also kind of thrive with it as well, I guess. Obviously ups and downs, so you can't always thrive. But yeah, I think that's a cool spin. I think one thing that our generation does well, compared to maybe the generations before us, like our parents' age and older, is we do understand mental health. We do talk about it a lot more. Mm. It's a lot more readily like understood and accepted and like catered for in work and school and all of that kind of thing. Like even from when we were in school, I don't think schools, mental health was not a thing when we were in high, for me at least, like if it was, it was like extreme cases. Mm-hmm. So now when our kids are growing up, it's just going to be a thing that they talk about. So that's cool.
Yeah. And again, I think the biggest thing is modeling the getting help, like fostering an attitude for asking for help, I think is a big thing.
Yeah.
And seeking help, you know, we're always trying to get better. We're always trying to improve and work on our stuff, not just be okay with it.
I think that's covered that one.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. And a lot shorter than the other story. Throw us in the deep end.
Okay, one more.
No touch, no intimacy, no sex. This is your story that you found, so you can't blame me.
I don't like it already. Baby's crying.
Baby's crying, babe.
Baby's crying. All right, I gave him a bottle. So we've got a small window. He was standing up. We've only gone out twice for kids.
Yeah.
So not
That's
bad.
That's fairly successful.
Not bad.
Okay, so I'm going to...
elaborate.
I'm going to elaborate, but also de-elaborate, whatever this, make things smaller.
What?
Make the story smaller.
Oh, great.
Okay, so this is... I've been married for 42 years and I love my wife, though at times I feel empty and sad. We have not been married for 42 years, so obviously this is the first thing that we'll have to kind of navigate. But I'm a social person. I talk to just about anything. I keep myself reasonably fit. The relationship with my wife has gradually become frustrating. We are, for the most part, good friends. While I am an outward person, my wife is happy to watch her favorite shows on television or a streaming channel. If that makes her happy, I don't have a problem. My wife does suffer from anxiety, and at times, as I have said to her, it is not so much what she says, it's the tone of her voice that can deflate me. In our marriage, we have had ample sex, and if the children weren't around, she loved me caressing her body. That's where I'm going to skip. Our sex life has taken a nosedive, and by that I mean it's non-existent. Each time the mood is there, something takes it away. The mood dies completely. This morning, as I walked behind her, I gently touched her bottom, and she said, "Would you stop doing that?" It's not funny, but it is. Only because we've played that out. That's, sometimes I tell you to stop doing that too.
I don't hear those words.
Okay. I said, "You used to love that." And she gave me stone silence. Yes, she has body issues. I am her husband. To me, it makes no difference. I saw her naked the other day and her response was, "Can I have some privacy?" I replied, "I'm your husband." Again, dead silence. I walked away. We have three beautiful adult children and two of the best grandchildren. I feel torn. I do get upset and angry. I've retired just 5 months ago, and although helping out family keeps me busy, I ask my wife, "Where would you like to go for a holiday?" And her response is either just to family or the painful one, "We can't afford it."
Hmm.
I ran a successful business for 38 years. She was all for selling and retiring. We made money. We have money. I'm questioning whether I should go to Bunnings and get something for a project. Now I don't know what to do. I do know that this can't continue, and I will try again to raise the matters. Thank you for reading.
Yeah, I think it's a classic, honey, we need to chat.
Honey, we need to chat.
Moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I just start a thing?
Yeah.
Did I just start a thing? Yeah, I think it's, again, classic chat moment and conversation, again, talking about feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, in my mind, there, at the very end there, it's talking about how he ran a successful business.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of like, all right, what did that successful business, what toll did that successful business take on the family? Because
mm-hmm.
there's very little, not saying it's non-existent, but there's very little people that I know that have ran a successful business that it hasn't come at the cost of the family.
Yeah.
And possibly relationship, marriage.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think, you know, through what we've been exploring is that it's not just a matter of like, hey, I want to sleep with you or I want to see you with no clothes on, and now that means business time.
Mm.
It's really down to knowing you and meeting your needs, and that's out of the bedroom. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a big thing. So I feel like that straight off the bat is, you know, we look at a issue or a topic of an issue or something, a pain point, but we need to then unpack that pain point of like, all right, cool. How have I been meeting her here? Mm-hmm. How, you know, is she feeling loved by me? Am I being romantic? Am I being, you know, all these other things involved?
Yeah.
So again, it's very one-sided story. Yeah.
It is a one-sided story, but I think there's a lot of insights that he maybe didn't even mean to give that maybe hint at what's happening on the other side too, like her anxiety, for example. Also, him being retired all of a sudden, like that's a change in situation. Mm. And so like her getting annoyed at him touching her butt. I can imagine when you're all of a sudden, especially after this many years, 42 years, you're with each other all the time, that would change the dynamics. Mm. It doesn't make it bad, but it just means that there's probably transitions and changes and stuff. Also, you know, at her age, I'm sure there's like hormonal stuff going on as well. And I think the biggest thing, which you kind of alluded to, is he's 42 years into his marriage asking this question. And not that it's impossible to get to that stage with having had great communication, but I do wonder if this was a conversation that they had been working at, if this was a topic that they'd been working at and he had been working at understanding her, I wonder if you would be 42 years into marriage asking this question. I don't know. I feel like if this is something that you foster well, you probably know why your partner isn't, not always, obviously. And again, we're not 42 years married. So yeah. It's easy to say it 10 years, but or 9 years.
Well, because that's what I was going to say is like, you know, I think a lot of people would be like, yeah, but the spark just sometimes runs out. Now, from our only 9 years compared to 42 years, from our perspective, like, well, does it have to?
Mm.
You know, from where we are, no, it doesn't have to. And I think, again, it's down to the intentionality. You know, we talk about there's a book called The Five Love Languages, right? It's a pretty popular book. Really highly recommend it if you haven't read it, and do it as a couple for sure.
Or even just this, even not even the book, but the survey online.
Oh, yeah, the survey.
You don't have to read the whole thing to get a lot of value from it.
Yeah, forget about that. And doing that as a couple is really cool because what you look at is like, cool. I take it with a little bit of a grain of salt, okay? That sounds weird. Don't take it fully at face value. Yeah. The right way of saying it?
It's not a cookie cutter thing.
Yeah, that's what exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I more mean like, all right, so it'll give you a result. Don't go away and say, that's me. This is the type of person that I am. What we've come to realize is that there's one that's probably our main thing, that the way that we receive love, right? So I'm acts of service, Amy's words of affirmation, right? Mm-hmm. Now I can do, and this is what we've experienced, is I can say all the right things to Amy, I can leave her notes, I can do all this sort of stuff, but if I neglect the other areas, then that you still have your tank's still empty. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so it's a matter of like learning how we're doing that. And this is the constant check-in, the constant, you know, working at the relationship. It's not, you get to a point, you finish your exercise, now you're fit for the rest of your life. No, it's that continual exercise, that continual investment into the relationship. How are you going? You know, like what are things like that you feel that you might be neglected in, that I might be neglecting you in? Yeah, it's all of those things. Mm. And I think, again, like the business side of things, I wonder how much time he's focused on his partner. I don't know.
Yeah, I think if we're, you know, doing the whole honey, we need a chat kind of thing and playing it out as if it was us, obviously the situation would be very different because we're on the other side of the timeline of this. But I think if that was us, how would you address that conversation?
If I was him?
If you were him, yeah, if this was you writing this in.
I think I'd have to do some reflection first. I think there's so much importance on guys evaluating first, and something I want to do another topic, another episode is mental load.
Mm.
But I think, you know, guys, we're not really known for being reflective and aware outside of ourselves.
Generally speaking.
And I think that's a very important first thing. And for me. Like, I would need to be reflecting, like, all right, this is what I'm doing, and she's not responding in a certain way. Now, again, I can choose to be offended, or I can press in, you know? So I think, like, even thinking through, like, you know, what you could be thinking, you know, how am I going around the house? What am I trying to do? How am I trying to serve you? How have I been trying to do that? And then I guess it depends if we've had the five love language chat or not. Mm-hmm. If we haven't had the five love language chat with talking about, hey, you want to do this with me? I'd really love to keep on investing in our marriage and do this with you. No agenda past that. Just like, hey, this is a real, I've heard some really cool things. I'd love to do this with you.
Mm-hmm.
Post five love language chat, it would be a matter of like, hey, we haven't checked in for a while. I want to know. I wouldn't be talking about sex.
No,
I wouldn't be.
That would be the last thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't be doing that. It'd be really be focusing on our relationship and how are you going?
Yeah.
So asking, it'd be essentially like coming back to you, how are you going? But not like, hey, how are you going? Like, hey, like, you know, how's your tank feeling? You know, how are you going with words of affirmation? How are you going with touch? How are you going with gifts and all that sort of stuff? Checking in, being more intentional. Because if I just put it on you, and that's not going to help the situation either. That's the whole mental load thing that we'll talk about another time. But
I think it is extremely safe to say the sex part of this is a symptom. It is not the problem.
No.
And maybe it feels like the problem. But if that is what's feeling like the problem, I think that's the biggest red flag of being like, oh, I'm probably missing something else. Because it's highly unlikely that everything else is healthy and great. Mm. And then suddenly she just doesn't want sex anymore. And I know, again, hormonal stuff changes and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But whenever there's something so specific like this, especially if it's a change, I think it's really safe to say that's not the problem.
Mm.
And yeah, doing what you've just said and exploring what might be happening outside of that, what you might be doing, or even just asking, having that conversation and be like, I've noticed that you really don't want me touching your butt.
Yeah.
Why do you keep slapping my hand away?
On the topic.
And then if you asked me, I would say, no, then you can give that opportunity. And like we said in the other conversation, you're wanting to hear that, like you're wanting the same result, hopefully, to be in a loving, intimate, fun, connected relationship. And there's something that's not working and it's changed. And I just want to understand why, because I don't know what it is. I think that going into a conversation like that is actually really open. It's different. It's not an accuse. Well, if you can do it that way, it's like, I'm trying to figure out what I've done to make you feel this way. I can tell something's happened. I'm not like, you're not reciprocating. So I can tell you've got some kind of something going on about me or about something. And I think like anxiety or mental health, like we talked about, is a huge thing. And when a partner doesn't understand what that is like for another person, it'd be easy to kind of not notice that as maybe one of the things happening to you. Like he does mention anxiety, whether that means much to him or not, like whether he understands the fullness of what that means for her, I guess is another thing.
And feel free to cut this if this is insensitive, but because this is me being naive, most likely. Like I think a big thing is you know, again, their age, you know what I mean? Like, and you mentioned before about hormones.
Mm.
And did you ever listen to that podcast episode I sent you about menopause? That blew my mind.
Yeah.
Like to really get a lot deeper of an understanding of what that is and what that looks like and
how it impacts.
How it impacts and stuff like that.
It blew my mind and I'm a woman.
And that's what I mean. And that's what I was going to say too. And this is actually not just for the guys. Like, look into that. I can't remember what the podcast name was, but the episode name was.
Just look into it.
It was really, and I think that's the thing is, again, like in learning our partners, like guys, we got a lot to learn about women, you know, and their bodies and what goes on and whatever else. Like we've got to be very careful to not make it about us. You know, it's very important. Yeah. I think if we can come up with a posture of serving our partners, I mean, I don't know. I just think like, especially sex, I think someone said something to me, someone or a video or no, wait, a Netflix video or something, you know, like I saw somewhere.
It was said to you in some form.
That sex should be about the other person.
Which seems so logical, right?
Yeah, it does. And so it should be all about serving the other person. And yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, if he was to go into this conversation, or if you were to have this conversation with me and you're like, you're not giving me sex, I need more, or something along those lines, that's the last thing that's going to make me want to give you more. And if I did, it would be not the true.
You wouldn't enjoy it. You would do it, but you wouldn't enjoy it. Yeah. And you would know that I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah. Well,
that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, but that's like, it's a joke, but it's true. Yeah. Like that's what it would not be. What I think the definition of intimacy and sex really is, which is like joint enjoyment. Yeah, so you have to be delicate with it, but I think it'd be fairly easy to have a conversation that's open and explore what's happening for the other person, because if you're willing to gently come into it and ask them. There you go.
That's it. That's the first episode done.
Yeah.
Our baby's awake.
He's crying still.
So well, he's just talking. He's not crying. He's just chatting. Mm. So we've got to go deal with that. Late night for us.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for the first episode of Honey, We Need to Chat.
I'm trying to think of a better way to close it than what you just did.
So tired. What would you say?
I don't know. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Goodbye.